Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. David James will come to my broadcast table today, right here on PTIB, to exhort us to be students of Bible prophecy. Also, an exhortation for pastors of local churches to have a revival of teaching the prophetic word of God to the people in their churches. This is a very important exhortation. You need to stay tuned to listen in on the conversation that I'm going to have with David James. David will be here at the broadcast table in a moment on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Let me give you a place that you can go to if you need some type of study material to study Bible prophecy. If you're a new student of Bible prophecy, I have a number of sources that will assist you in your understanding of the prophetic word of God. They can be found in my bookstore, which is located on my website. Go to prophecytoday.com, then to the Prophecy Bookstore, and you'll see we have DVD documentaries, a number of five-hour audio series on Bible prophecy, and books, my three commentaries on Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. That's all at my Prophecy Bookstore, located on my website, prophecytoday.com. We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have a weekly conversation. You tune in. We know that because we get a number of emails from those who hear our conversation as we look at an issue that needs a biblical perspective. That's our idea behind this whole conversation. We're not trying to push you one direction or another in an issue. We want to push you to the Word of God and allow you to make your decision, a biblical decision, on how you're going to deal with the issue. Well, David, we got a listener who sent us an email that we decided actually to use as the basis for our discussion today. He is concerned about the lack of teaching about biblical prophecy in the churches today. Now, you and I are exactly on the same page with our listener, but let's talk about that, will you please?
Sure. Well, this email was from a longtime listener, actually, and he's written to us with questions before. And a couple of days ago, he wrote this: I know you've discussed this issue before, but I was scrolling through AM radio and stopped when I heard Pastor Alistair Begg speaking. I didn't hear his entire message, but I could tell he was teaching from the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 about those who endure to the end being saved. And from what I understood, he was teaching about this being the body of Christ today, and he confirmed this later, and at no point did he mention anything about the tribulation period. And Jimmy, our listener, went on to say that Alistair Begg said that when it speaks about bringing the gospel to all the nations, he wasn't referring to the tribulation period, but to us spreading the gospel today. And then our listener wrote this: I make studying prophecy as important as any other doctrine, and when I see pastors who are teaching from prophetic passages but in the wrong context, I get disappointed. I really feel like prophecy continues to just fall by the wayside in our churches today. I've come to know that prophecy is so important and it points directly to Jesus Christ. And so, Jimmy, I would say amen to that. And I've listened to Alistair Begg before, as he's been on the radio for a long time. And to be fair, he is a good teacher and communicator in general. However, I would say with this caveat, he's reformed in his doctrines of salvation, the church, and eschatology, and so he's not going to get right the Olivet Discourse and other prophetic passages. So we do share our listeners' concern.
Yes, we certainly do, and let me just put this personal note in. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to lead Alistair Begg and his wife on a tour of Israel. I knew where his eschatology was. You know, of course, where my eschatology is. And it was so interesting to watch his facial expressions. We'd go to the biblical sites, and then I would bear down on what Bible prophecy tells us about that particular site, State of Israel and the Jewish people. It was a fun time. We praise the Lord for his ministry, but we would pray that he might become more understanding of what Bible prophecy is all about. Well, David, we know that this friend of the ministry isn't alone, as we've just made notice of, in his concerns about the lack of teaching of biblical prophecy. But historically, conservative evangelicalism has been largely dispensational. So how did we get from where we were then to where we are today?
Well, Jimmy, I think there's a number of things over the last 30 to 40 years that have contributed to this. One is that some have never taken dispensationalism seriously, and some dispensational seminaries and colleges began looking to reform theology as being the more historically and academically credible of the two. This combined with more emphasis on regional accreditation, which can require more diversity in faculties, sometimes led them to bring in more and more professors who weren't committed dispensationalists. And then this began filtering down into the churches as old guard conservative dispensational pastors began to retire. I would also say that a second major factor, at least from my perspective, that played into this was the seeker-sensitive movement that began to take off in the late 80s. The idea was to shift toward making church more relevant for the lost rather than equipping the saints to reach the lost. And as a result, there was a shift away from expository preaching through the scriptures in favor of topical messages that were aimed at felt needs. And so over time, biblical doctrine, especially eschatology, just got pushed to the side. And so the next generation of leaders in the churches just weren't equipped with enough biblical knowledge or theological commitments to properly screen pastoral candidates, and many of whom were beginning to come in with an agenda to move evangelicalism away from dispensational theology. And Jimmy, I've heard this over and over again everywhere around the world.
You know, David, although the focus on biblical prophecy is really in decline, there is an increasing amount of emphasis on extra-biblical prophecy. A lot of that was flying around during the presidential elections, and a lot of those so-called prophets apparently got it all wrong, didn't they?
They did, and I've been watching this too, and I have a personal interest in this whole issue for a number of reasons, including the fact that 36 years ago, I was saved through a Holiness Pentecostal pastor, and I've had a number of people very close to me who were deep into the extreme charismatic movement for many years, and they've since come out. There may still be a slight question about Biden being president, but there's a lot of chaos out there among those who confidently prophesied that Trump would be elected to a second term. For example, back on October 20th, Pat Robertson told his 700 Club viewers that without question, Trump is going to win the election. And then he also predicted that the Earth will be destroyed by an asteroid over 5 years from now. And he has a history of failed prophecies. A Bethel church pastor out in California said, "I was wrong. I take full responsibility for being wrong. There's no excuse for it." But then he said this, "I don't think it makes me a false prophet, but it does actually create a credibility gap." And one of President Trump's main spiritual advisors, Paula White, was declaring the angels were coming in from Africa and South America to intervene in the final election results. Just this past weekend, Kenneth Copeland was laughing from his pulpit concerning media declaring Biden the president-elect. And others aren't backing down either. For example, Jeremiah Johnson sent out an email after the election that said this, "As many of you know, there has been a chorus of mature and tested prophets in America with a proven track record that have predicted Donald J. Trump would be reelected president of the United States. I am one of them."
Well, and I've got to say, you and I are not prophets nor even sons of prophets, and we really don't know what the final result. They're still debating who is the next president of the United States, so we're not trying to make the statement that we know either way or the other. However, we wanted to talk about this, lay it out, and think through what God's Word really has to say about the issue. And of course, it really certainly raises a number of questions, including about the reliability of biblical prophecies and true prophets of God versus the many false teachers, which Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, and the false prophets that are out there today.
Well, that's right, Jimmy, and there's no comparison. The false prophets today need to be thankful that we're not under the law of Moses, because they wouldn't have the luxury of digging in their heels or just saying, "Oops." In Deuteronomy 18, in the context of speaking of the coming prophet who would be greater than Moses, meaning the Messiah, the Lord said this, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." So, Jimmy, a prophet from God was both a faithful and true teacher of what God had said, and he didn't claim that God had said something he didn't say. And if someone missed even one prophecy, then he was put out of business permanently. And one of the things you hear about so-called prophets today is that the standard is no longer the 100% accuracy required in the Old Testament. And when I mentioned Jeremiah Johnson earlier, he went on to say this, "Either a lying spirit has filled the mouths of numerous trusted prophetic voices in America, or Donald J. Trump really has won the presidency, and we're witnessing a diabolical and evil plan unfold to steal the election." But, Jimmy, fulfilled prophecy is one of the main reasons we know that the Word of God is inspired, inerrant, and infallible. And so it's impossible for Satan to thwart an event that God has actually said will happen.
David, let's get back to biblical prophecy for a moment. What are some of the things that you think need to happen to start a reversal of this trend away from teaching the prophetic Word of God?
Well, first of all, and our listeners have heard me say this before, I'm beginning to see glimmers of hope. When we started the Alliance for Biblical Integrity 12 years ago, one of my goals was to find a network of other people who would believe what we do about the Bible and theology. So dispensationalism began as a grassroots movement in churches, not in seminaries, and I think we need to get back to that, with individual believers putting effort into studying the Bible for themselves. Everyone needs to have a few basic books in their library, like a book on theology and good Bible interpretation like Roy Zook's book, and books on studying the Bible correctly and the Bible knowledge commentary. I'd also encourage pastors and Sunday school teachers to tackle these subjects in their preaching and teaching. And parents, you need to be sending your kids to solid Bible college that have a high view of Scripture. And another thing would be to get connected with ministries like yours, Jimmy, and mine, and Andy Woods, and other dispensational teachers, because there are dispensationalists out there, and you can find them.
Yes, indeed. And be searching. But I think the greatest thing you said, get into the book, the Word of God, the prophetic passages in the Word. Do it for yourself. And you don't have to believe all of us who teach Bible prophecy. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you as well as He has taught us. That's what God's Word said will happen, John chapter 16. David, thank you. I think that this was a great conversation for people to eavesdrop on. I appreciate your research. Thank you for bringing all of this to the table. We'll have another discussion next week.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll open the Bible. That's what we've been talking about. Look at the Bible. See what it says. We'll give a prophetic perspective to all the reports from my broadcast partners. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today. Very important report that I had with David James today. You know, pastors of local churches, both small and large, need to take David James's exhortation to heart and start teaching Bible prophecy. God's Word is 30% Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is in all 66 books of the Bible, and the Apostle Peter says that the Bible is a more sure word of Bible prophecy. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Jesus told John the Revelator to record the prophecy that foretells the future. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. My three commentaries on Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. That's all at my prophecy bookstore, located on my website, prophecytoday.com. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.